So this morning we're looking at the passage that Christy read from Revelations chapter 3, and it's one of the seven churches that are mentioned in Revelation. It's a church that is heavily criticised. When we look at a church in Revelation, you always have to look at yourself and you have to look at our own community and think about, you know, do we look at all like this church of Laodicea? Is there something that God wants us to repent of as well? So that is what we should be doing as we look at that particular church. I suppose some of us have heard of the boiled frog syndrome. I've never tried this out and I wouldn't suggest anyone do that. But what I understand from what I've read, not from any experiments on my part, is that if you got a frog and you put them in a pan of water and then turn the flames onto the pan and heated it up, that the frog would not jump out of, would not jump out of the pan. It just adjusts to the temperatures as it gets hotter and hotter, and then basically boils to death. However, if you had a pot of boiling water, a pan of boiling water, and you threw the frog in, that it would immediately attempt to get out. Now, I only use that as an illustration, nothing more, about how, as Christian people, we can just simply adjust to our society and not realising that we're changing and that we're moving more away from Jesus all the time. We just sort of adopt some of the practices or thoughts of the society in which we live and not realising that we've moved quite a way away from God. You might notice a little bit about that yourself in your own workplace. You might speak in your workplace differently to how you speak at home. And you think, oh, you've just adjusted to a different environment. And as a Christian, I always think that the key to living the Christian life, or one of the things that we should strive for, is that we are the same in our workplace, we're at home, or anywhere else, in any other group of people, that we should be the same people. The language should be the same. Our attitude should be the same. Just our actions should all be the same. Doesn't matter where we are, that you are genuine, that you have integrity. Now, when it comes to this particular church that we're talking about from in Revelation, the church of Laodicea, one of the things that Jesus criticises that church for is that they had moved probably over a number of years, perhaps decades, away from that group of believers who were so heavily dependent on him. They met in prayer. They were perhaps in an environment where they were persecuted, and then suddenly they're part of society and they've adjusted to society and they think, we've got it all together. And figuratively speaking, they don't appear to need God in the same way they did at first. They just have become spiritually superior, overconfident in their own ability. And so Jesus is very scathing of this church, where as you read the passage, you discover that Jesus is not in the church, but he's outside the door of the church. That's a really scary thing, a scary place for a church to be. Now, I'm just going to put a couple of pictures on the wall, on the data projector. The first one just gives you an idea where Laodicea is. It's in modern-day Turkey, and it's in the old Roman province then, 2,000 years ago, of Phrygia. And just going to the next particular slide, you see Laodicea there in blue, And you can see it's on a crossroads. There's a road north to south, east to west. It's on this crossroad. And brothers and sisters, it's a prosperous place to live. Prosperous in that Roman province. And it was known for three major things. It was known for its banking. It had a big banking sector. It was known for its medical facilities. They had a good eye salve there that saved a lot of people from blindness. And they were also known for their black sheep, which were made into, and the wool of those sheep were made into fine garments that were sold far and wide. And so it was a prosperous city. And the church, it seems, reflects the prosperity of the city, the character of the city. The church was well off. It could easily pass its budget. It appeared to be doing well. The numbers were holding up well, and yet it was a church that Jesus was scathing in his criticism of. And again, the city gives us a picture of the church. At a particular point in its history, there was a massive earthquake that went through Laodicea. And many of the buildings were destroyed. But the Laodiceans were so proud of themselves, so confident in themselves, that as a city, they approached the Roman government and said, "We don't want any financial support in rebuilding the city. We can do it ourselves." And again, that reflects the character of the church. It's like, again, we don't need you, God. We're not heavily dependent on you, God. We have all the resources amongst ourselves. And again, we have to see Jesus outside the walls of the church or outside the doors, pleading with the church to come in. Their sin was that they were totally dependent on themselves. And so, in the words of our text, they said, Jesus puts their words together, or their thoughts into words, "I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing. I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing." So in a nutshell, what is the sin here? It is a belief that you can live without Jesus, without God, as your ever-present help. It's the belief that you can live without God, without Jesus, who should be our ever-present help, that we need God all the time. In the Bible, there's a group in Jesus' day that were very confident of themselves, and they were the Pharisees. They saw themselves as the spiritual elite of Israel. They followed the rules, they followed the rituals. They were so confident in their own ability that in the end they didn't feel they needed God or any kind of grace in their life at all. When Jesus ministered to the Pharisees and to, he said to them, "I have not come to heal those who are well, but to heal the sick." And it wasn't as if the Pharisees were well, it's just that they thought they were well. They thought that they were healthy. They didn't see their need for a saviour. They didn't see their need for Jesus at all. They looked at their own performance and said, "God should want me. I should be totally acceptable to God on the basis of what I can do myself." Now, when Jesus said he didn't come for the healthy but the sick, it wasn't that the Pharisees were healthy. In fact, they were very sick. They just didn't realise it, how sick they were. When I lived in Tasmania, my next door neighbour died of a massive heart attack at the age of 67, thereabouts. One of the things he used to brag about was, "I never go to see a doctor. I haven't been to a doctor for a decade." And of course, he was a very sick man. His arteries were blocked. He was proud of his health, But he was in actual fact a very sick person. That's what the Pharisees were like. That's what the church here in Laodicea was like. Full of self-deception, thinking we are rich. We do not need a thing. Totally dependent on themselves and didn't realise their great need for Jesus. The Apostle Paul, in one of his letters to the Colossians, which is from the map, you can see is just the city next door, 10 kilometres away from Laodicea. He wrote this to them about being religious but not depending on Jesus. These rules, which have to do with the things, with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. What Paul is saying here is that you can substitute Christ for ritual. Instead of looking to Christ, you can look at your own actions, things you touch, don't touch, things you taste, don't taste, and you can feel quite superior, as if God should accept you on the basis of your performance. What's the sin again? They weren't utterly dependent on Jesus. The song, this particular hymn came to mind as I was writing this. That song, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Saviour. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Saviour. I come to thee. We often sing that as we come to the Lord's Supper table. But that's what this, that's what should be a reflection of the Christian life. We need God. Wasn't the case with the people in Laodicea. They said again, I am rich, I have acquired great wealth and do not need a thing. And then Jesus says, but you do not realise that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. So just to go to the character of the city was rich, full of banking. And Jesus says, you are poor and wretched and pitiful. The church in the city of Laodicea was known for its eye salve and medical facilities to do with the eye. And Jesus says they're blind. The city of Laodicea was known for its clothing, its black sheep, its fine woolen garments. And Jesus says they are naked. The Christians there, well, people, they went to church there, didn't realise their terrible situation. So now we come to that the difficulty of knowing what to do with the hot, cold or lukewarm. So just let me read that out again. I know your works, you are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth or vomit you out of my mouth. It's always been an interesting passage trying to understand that. And so I've just put on a couple of taps there that we can put in the next slide. Hot, cold or lukewarm. So again, I want to look at a map of the area to give us an idea of what's going on. It's hard to believe a map can help us here, but I think it does. So we'll just put up the map again. So you see Laodicea again in blue. You see Colossae underneath it, so that's to your right, just underneath Laodicea. And you see a town of Hierapolis, north. So let me just describe Hierapolis for you. So Laodicea is between these two towns. So 10 kilometres north of Laodicea is Hierapolis. And it was known for its hot springs. So there's a lovely picture of this. If you ever go to Turkey, maybe some of you have, you've seen this. But that's an amazing picture, isn't it? Worthwhile going to Turkey to have a look at one day. People went there for medicinal reasons, you know, hot springs, health, perhaps some of the minerals in there were used for that eye salve that they were so famous for. But what happened is that a lot of that water, as it went over the cliffs and so on, would come past on towards Laodicea, like in a stream. And unwary travellers would sometimes go along and they'd see this water going past. And they grab a mouthful of tepid water, because it was hot there, but now it's 10 kilometres further, it's lukewarm, heavily mineralised. And they would take a swallow, and then they would go, it'd all come out of their mouths. You wouldn't want to be standing near them as they gag and spit. It would just straight out. Heavily mineralised water from Hierapolis. Now, to the south was Colossae. And Colossae was known for its wonderful, fresh, pure water. And that water was pumped in an aqueduct to Laodicea. And I've just... that's the actual aqueduct. I legit didn't pick any aqueduct. That's it. That's the aqueduct there. And they brought fresh water from near Colossae all the way into Laodicea, and people there could use that water to drink, and it was refreshing and wonderful. So what Jesus is saying to the city of Laodicea is that hot water has some benefit. This is what I think Jesus is saying. Hot water has some benefit, healing properties, medicinal. Cold water can be fantastically invigorating. But lukewarm water is sort of blah. It's horrible, just spat out of their mouth. And what Jesus is saying to the church then of Laodicea is pretty then easy to understand. He's saying that they've become lukewarm, heavily mineralised. That if Jesus was to actually enter into that building, enter into their church community, that it would have a repulsive effect on himself. Because these people had replaced him with ritual. They were full of pride, their own self-worth. They were not people known for grace, because if you think you are acceptable to God on the basis of who you are yourself, then you don't look at other people very kindly. You become like a Pharisee. And Jesus is saying of the church there that they're like that. They're not hot, medicinal, they're not cold, refreshing, they're blah, they're lukewarm. And then, brothers and sisters, you have to apply this to yourself as our church community. As you come into our community as a church, what kind of people do you meet? And Lord willing, we're rather hot or cold, but we're not lukewarm to the gospel. We're heavily dependent on God. That when someone comes into this building, they meet people who do not look spiritually superior. They meet people who are not just so-so about their Christian life, but you meet people who are saying, every hour I need Jesus, I need him all the time. Are people full of grace and truth. People that do not repulse but attract people to the gospel by which they themselves are saved. If someone meets you as an individual in your workplace or in your neighbourhood, what kind of individual do they meet? Someone that loves the Lord and says that you need him? Or do they meet someone that looks very superior, perhaps arrogant, perhaps unsympathetic. What kind of people are we together? What kind of people are we as individuals? People will not always be attracted to us because we are Christian and heavenly dependent on Jesus. Many people will be repelled by Jesus himself because they don't want to admit their sin. Don't want to admit that they need to confess their sin and that they need Jesus. People will reject Jesus, but may it never be that they reject Jesus because of us as a church or us as individuals. That would be a terrible thing. Now, the theme of Cadets and Gems was Feed the Fire. And I've been a cadet counsellor for a year or two, many years ago. And I've been a cadet for many years. And whenever we went camping as a cadet, and the counsellor said, stop, just leave the fire alone. There's one thing you knew that cadets will never do, is leave a fire alone. And so they're always running about, grabbing more sticks, biggest logs you can possibly find, and dragging them over and putting them back in the fire. And then the council will tell them to stop doing it, and as soon as the council's back is turned, straight away, off it all happens again. That's just the truth of it, right? That's what cadets do. They do that with a fire. But isn't that a wonderful image, though, of what it is to be a Christian? Always going back to Jesus. Always going back to God. Always going back to his word. Always praying to God. Never just resting on our laurels. Never just slowly losing the essence of what it is to be a Christian. And then just moving along with where society would have us go. Jesus says this, and I mentioned it a few times, but Jesus says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and him with me. What's Jesus saying to Christians? He's saying, come, let me come back into your life. Saying to the church, May I be the centre of the church and I will come back. But open that door. And so for any of us here, if we're cold or hot, no, we'll leave the cold and hot. If any of us are lukewarm in our faith at this present time, we can just pray to God and ask him to come back in. And it's just like a cadet running off and putting more sticks on a fire. And Jesus says this, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. Because whatever we do, it's not gold for God. It's full of impurities. It's not, even our best actions lack something. But Jesus' work on the cross, it's finished. It's pure gold. It's great. And it covers all our sins. And he says, I'm the Lord of your life. Live in submission to me. That's what Jesus is asking us to do. Jesus in this passage says to the church of Laodicea, repent, confess your sins. And there I am, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. Now, if you haven't yet committed yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, that invitation is also there for you. Because Jesus will never refuse anyone who opens the door for him. And he will grant them life and gold, real gold, refined in the fire, where their lives will be purified and made right with God forever. So just this, what am I saying just as I finish off? I'm saying that the Church of Laodicea's sin was an independent spirit, a belief that they didn't really need Jesus as they might have years and years earlier, that they'd somehow progressed to the stage of doing okay by themselves. It's something that can happen slowly in our lives. And you see people that might have once been men of prayer, men and women of prayer, but no longer praying. You see people replacing the truth of the gospel with ritual or with do's and don'ts. And Jesus said, suddenly I'm outside and I'm not inside the church. And if that's you as an individual, just drop all pretensions that you can live without God. You can't. I can't. And that song is true. We need him every hour. Every hour I need thee. We need Jesus beside us all the time as we walk forward.